Today on The Dwelling Place.
Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation, but behold, I've overcome the world. You're never hopeless when your hope is in Christ. Yeah, you may be in trouble, but God will bring you triumph as long as your hope is in Christ. Amen. Heaven and earth will pass away, the Bible says, but his word will remain forever.
Dwelling place.
Thank you for tuning into The Dwelling Place, a radio ministry from Pastor Al Pittman and Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. We hope today's message is a blessing to you. If you'd like to partner with us financially, you can go to cwccs.org/give. You can text give to 719-354-2778, give directly on the OnePlace app, or mail in a check to 501 Castle Road, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80904. We appreciate your generosity to help us spread the gospel. It's hard to find hope in the world today, but us as the believers, our hope is in Jesus. But lately, even Christians have been living as the world and have lost all hope. With this special Easter message, we'll hear how our hope can be revived. Now, here's Pastor Al.
I want to share a message with you today entitled Hope Revived, which is a theme of our Easter service this year, Hope Revived. And I think about that because we live at a time where, you know, if hope was a patient, it would be considered today on life support. A lot of people are without hope all around us. But the good news is that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Hope can live again. He is alive today. We serve a living God. Amen. Give him praise and glory. An empty tomb, it really reveals to us as a manifestation of the fact that our lives no longer have to be empty. It's a manifestation of the fact that God came, sent his son, that we might have everlasting hope, everlasting hope. Every year, people bash Easter and put it down and bash Jesus Christ and all that, but it's all right. Hope is still revived. The tomb is still empty, amen. That tomb, the emptiness of the tomb means, yes, not we can be filled with everlasting hope, not temporal hope. The hope I'm talking about today is not temporal hope. It's not hope that changes with the weather. Amen. People, they have hope, but the weather can change their hope, or an individual can change their hope, or you know, situation can change their hope. But the hope that I'm speaking about is everlasting, is eternal hope. It never changes. The Bible says Jesus Christ, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's unchanging. Amen. It's an everlasting hope that we have in Christ, an unchanging hope. Doesn't matter who walks out on you, doesn't matter what, how you feel today or anything else, that hope still remains. Thank God for the resurrection of our King. Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and he's come to deliver us from that which separated us from our hope. The Bible says that God is a God of all hope. And sin, the Bible also says, has separated us from God. We were separated from eternal hope. And that's why the Lord sent his son to die for our sins, that we might be reconciled to him. Because eternal hope can only be found in God. God so loved the world, you know the verse, that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world, the Bible goes on to say, to condemn the world, but that the world might have life or be saved through him. That the world might have eternal hope through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That hope cannot be deterred by trouble or who's in the White House or who's not in the White House or what have you. That hope is sustained even in times of trouble. The psalmist declared in Psalm 138, verse 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. Hallelujah. Amen. God delivers. Jesus said, in the world, you will have tribulation, but behold, I've overcome the world. You're never hopeless when your hope is in Christ. Yeah, you know, you may be in trouble, but God will bring you triumph as long as your hope is in Christ. Amen. Heaven and earth will pass away, the Bible says, but his word will remain forever. You can hope in the word of God. So I pray this message will bless you. I pray that it will stir you up if you're a believer to be reminded that we have an eternal hope in Christ. And if you came in here today hopeless, may you leave filled with that eternal hope that can only be found through faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, we go to John chapter 20. If you have a Bible with you, you can follow along with John chapter 20, John's account of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we find a woman there by the name of Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene was an interesting lady. She was a disciple of Jesus. She was a follower of Jesus Christ. But she found Jesus when she was at rock bottom. Amen. Some of us can relate to that. when we had nothing left, we're at rock bottom. We're playing, as they say, handball up against the curb. Amen. We were so low. We came to Christ. He found us. You know, he saves, the Bible says, to the uttermost. And yes, for some of us, it was the guttermost. Amen. But he saves us. He loves us. And Mary Magdalene was at her lowest point. She was in the guttermost. The Bible tells us that before she came to Christ, she was a woman that was possessed by seven demons. You think you've got problems. Amen. And not only that, many scholars believe that she was also a known prostitute there in Magdala and the city that she was lived in near the Sea of Galilee. And so she had some issues, but she came to Christ. And you know what? No matter how hopeless you feel, there's always hope in Jesus. And when she encountered Jesus, he changed her life. But now she, in John chapter 20, in John's account, you know, she is in total despair, having seen her Savior crucified and placed in a tomb. The Bible tells us that Mary Magdalene, along with some other women, came on that first resurrection morning to anoint the body of Jesus with spices. That was according to Jewish custom. They would anoint the body with spices. They came to the tomb, Mary Magdalene with the other women, and when they got there, they found that the tomb was empty. Disturbed, of course, they ran and told the disciples. This is early in the morning. The Bible tells us that it was before the sun came up. It was still dark. So you imagine, you know, how stirred up the disciples were. They were kind of hiding, but they went and found their disciples said that they've taken the body of Jesus. And early in the morning, I got up really early this morning, like many of you, and early in the morning, you don't have all your faculties and all, you know, you're just kind of like, well, you know, the body of Jesus is gone. What? You know, it's just a bunch of women talking. I don't even know what the disciples were thinking. You know, what are these women saying? Crazy women in the morning here. What's going on? I ain't had my coffee yet, you know. I mean, think about it. It was early, 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 early in the morning. Sun hadn't come up yet. What's your deal? You know. But Peter and John, in John chapter 20 tells us, ran to the tomb. And of course, John, I always think it's kind of funny in verse 4. In verse 4, John just happened to mention that he outran Peter. I'm just saying, why? What spiritual significance, John, is there in telling us you won the race to the tomb? But anyway, and they go in and they look in there. Jesus is gone. They leave perplexed. But the Bible says that Mary lingered. She stayed behind. And so we pick up the account, John's account in verse 11, here where it says, but Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. She saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they have taken away the Lord, my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Now when she had said this, verse 14, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? whom are you seeking? He's saying that to many of you today. Because some of you came in, maybe not outwardly, but inwardly you're weeping. And the Lord asks, why are you weeping? And the better question is, whom are you seeking? Because whom you are seeking is the difference between despair and deliverance today. If we're seeking Jesus, there's deliverance. Hope can be revived. There's newness of life. There's forgiveness. There's mercy without end. But if we're seeking another person, a pastor or a church or someone to fill that void, then we'll leave this place with the same despair we came in with. Only Jesus can revive our hope. He asked her this question. She lingered because at the tomb, after Peter and John had left, shaking their heads, probably wondering, you know, not knowing what to think. She lingered because that's what desperation does. It lingers in hope. Some of you come in desperate. You've been lingering. You're still coming to church, but things haven't maybe changed, and maybe you're looking for religion to make a difference and all that. But there's an empty tomb today. God did not empty. The tomb is not empty so that you might have religion. The tomb is empty that you might be brought into a relationship with the living God. Amen? Your lingering can end today as you put your hope and faith in what Jesus Christ has done for you. Mary was asked twice, why are you weeping? God wants to know why we're weeping. He cares about the things that we cry over. He wants to know what is going on in our hearts. And the Bible says, she's supposing, verse 15, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. He said her name, Mary. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which means teacher, my teacher, my Lord.
Hi, this is Pastor Al Pittman with Calvary Worship Center. I'd like to personally and take this opportunity to invite you to come out and join us for our Good Friday service, and also to join us in one of our services on Easter weekend. It's going to be a wonderful time of celebration. Our theme this year is From Death to Life. When you think about it, Easter really is a matter of death and life. The Bible says that he who has the Son of God has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Jesus came and died for us so that we might have everlasting life through faith in him. The Lord loves you, and he wants you to know that his Son came to die just for you so that you might have everlasting life. Will you make plans to join us in our services? God richly bless you. We look forward to seeing you there.
Join us for our Good Friday service at 6:30 p.m. or our Easter services on Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 8 a.m., 10 a.m., and 12 noon. Now let's get back to our program.
Something about the way the Lord says your name that really matters. In fact, there is something very powerful that takes place when you hear your name. And studies show that there's actually a chemical reaction when you hear your name within your brain. They're called feel-good hormones, such as dopamine and serotonin. They're released in your brain when you hear your name. Human behavior expert Dale Carnegie once said, and I quote, he says, remember that a person's name is to them the sweetest and most important sound in any language, close quote. So true. Your name is on the lips of God. Now, people know your name. When God speaks your name, it's with love. I know there's sometimes, and maybe it's because I'm getting old or something, but I can hear my mother calling my name. Maybe it's because nobody calls your name like Mom. Nobody calls your name like Mom when you're in trouble. I'll just say that, amen. Sometimes, like, you know, in my memory somewhere, I'll be out somewhere and I hear, like, I heard she said my name. I hear her call me like when I was a little boy. And I know she's watching today, so I want to thank her for her love. Amen. And but God calls your name. Your name is on his lips. And nobody can say your name like Jesus. See, Mama knew you, and people know your name, and you have friends who know you, but nobody knows you like Jesus. Oh, when he said, Mary, whoo, something was unleashed. Something was released in her. Hope was revived. He's speaking your name today. And the reason I say no one can say your name like Jesus is because he says your name with the full knowledge of who you really are. Come on. If people knew who you really are, they would get up from their seat now and move to the other side of the room. They don't know you like Jesus knows you. But he knows us, all of our failures and faults, our secret sins, our doubts, our fears, our weaknesses. And rather than condemn us, he speaks our name, and he does it with great love and compassion and grace. Mary. Mary. Powerful, powerful. God knows your name. Sing a song around here sometimes called, you know, it says, he knows my name. He does know your name. Not only does he know it, he speaks it. He knows your name, and because he knows your name, he knows your pain. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, that we have a high priest, that is, we have Jesus Christ as our priest, who is able to sympathize with us in our weaknesses. That word sympathize is interesting because this is the Greek word supatheo, and it means to be affected with the same feeling as another. People say, I know how you feel, but they don't know how you feel because they can't feel what you feel. But Jesus can. He enters into that feeling, the feeling of another. He knows the depths of your hopelessness. He knows the depths of your pain. You're sitting at home watching this message. I want you to know there's hope for you today. Christ is risen from the dead that your hope might be revived. Everlasting hope in the Son of God. Amen. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Now, Jesus told Mary to not cling to him. You know, I mean, I can only imagine he says her name, Mary. And boy, she just grabbed him, Rabboni. She wasn't like, hey, teacher, you know. It's like she jumped on him, amen, and was holding on to him. She's not going to let him go. This miraculous, he's alive. He's risen from the dead. He said, don't hold on to me. I've yet to go to my Father, yet to ascend to my Father, verse 17, John chapter 20. But go and tell my brethren, them knuckleheads. Amen. Hide now, scared. Say to them that I'm ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. I'm ascending to your God. He is your God. He's my God. He's the one that Christ is submitted to. He submitted himself to the Father, even though he was one with the Father. And the Father and Son are still one together, are the same. We just heard the passage read from Philippians 2, that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, he said, if you see me, you've seen God. He was one with God. God was also his Father. And he is also now your Father. The tomb is empty today. And God might not be some distant concept, some angry old guy up there on the throne ready to hit you upside the head. That God would not be just some, you know, set of rules or legalism or some religion, but that God would be your daddy. That he would be your provider and your comforter. He would be your protector. That he would be your strength. He would be the lover of your soul. He's your Father. Sometimes as Christians, we lose sight of that. That he's my Father. God is your Father. The tomb is empty today, that God might be your Father. Amen. Oh, praise his holy name. But the Lord was on his way to see the Father. You know, it goes into a lot more than I have time to explain, but in Hebrews chapter 9, I believe, verses 11 to 15 talks about it, and you get a chance to go back and read, but it basically tells us there in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 to 15, that Jesus Christ, as our high priest, and you got to know a little something about Judaism, got to know something about the temple and all, but Jesus is our high priest. He went into the temple that is in heaven. The temple that was on earth was a copy of the temple that is in heaven. The temple on earth in Jerusalem was destroyed, but the temple on earth in heaven is still there. And the Father is in the place called the Holy of Holies. And Jesus went into that place, into the presence of his Father, and presented his blood as for our atonement before God, and his blood was accepted by God. Therefore, he is brought about, he has made a way for our atonement, for our everlasting forgiveness before God when we put our faith in him. So he not only is our high priest, but he is also our sacrifice because he died on the cross for our sins and shed his blood again for our atonement. So he was telling Mary, I've yet to ascend to the Father for your atonement. Amen. You can't go with me, Mary. This is something I have to do on my own. Amen. And so that's what he's speaking about here. And Christ came and died on the cross, not because he's a good guy, but because he was the Son of God. And his precious and holy blood has earned atonement for us, that we might have the forgiveness of sins through faith in him. Praise his holy name. Amen.
Again, thank you for joining us today. Please email us at amen@cwccs.org if you need prayer or want to speak with a pastor. We would love to hear from you. If you were blessed by today's message, consider partnering with us financially. You can go to cwccs.org/give, text give to 719-354-2778, give directly on the OnePlace app, or mail a check to 501 Castle Road, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80904. We appreciate your prayers and generosity to help us spread the gospel. If you live in or visiting the Colorado Springs area, we would love for you to join us at one of our services. We have services on Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 8 a.m., 10 a.m., and 12 noon. If you can't make it, join us online. We stream our 10 a.m. service every Sunday. Just head to our website or join us on YouTube. You can find us on YouTube by typing CWCCS. May the rest of your day be richly blessed. We'll see you next time on The Dwelling Place. Dwelling Place.